Sikha for Parsha Shmini was given, was said by the Rebbe in the year 1984, and it was said on two Shabbosim, on Shabbos Parsha Shmini, and then further explained in the next Shabbos Parsha Tazria. Primarily the Sikha deals with a story in the Gemara concerning Purim, where the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to drink wine, to get drunk on Purim, ad delo yada, until a person can't distinguish between Haman and Mordechai. In connection with this halacha, the Gemara tells the story that Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira ovdu sudas Purim b'hadi hadodi. The two sages, Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, celebrated Purim. They had their Purim meal together. Ibsum, they became drunk, and kom Rabba shachte l'Rab Zeira. Rabba stood up and slaughtered Rab Zeira, killed Rab Zeira. L'mochor, the next day, boi rachame, he prayed for him, v'achye, and he brought him back to life. L'shona, the following year, Omar Lei, Rabba said to Rab Zeira, Neisemar zenavid sudas purim bahadeh hadodi. Come to me, and we will share the Purim Suda together. Amar Lei, so Reb Zeira said, Lei b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachish nisa. I can't depend on a miracle happening every year. Now this story needs explanation. Primarily, how is it possible that Rabba would do such a thing? And the fact that he was drunk is certainly no explanation and no excuse. Even in a state of drunkenness, Rabba couldn't possibly do something so cruel and so sinful. And then when you look at the details of the story, there are more questions. First of all, why is it that Rabba brought Rab Zeira back to life the following day? Why didn't he do it immediately upon realizing that he had killed Rab Zeira? Why did he wait another day before bringing him back to life? Number two, the next year, Rabba doesn't hesitate to invite Rab Zeira to come once again to share the Sudas Purim and again to fulfill the mitzvah of drinking until you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Number three, Reb Zeira refuses the invitation. But on what grounds? Not that he's afraid of getting killed, but he's afraid that if he should be killed, he might not be able to be revived. That Rabba won't be able to again perform the miracle of bringing him back to life, which already seems strange. And particularly since there are other reasons, halachic reasons to refuse the invitation, such as lifnei iver lesitin mishul. Reb Zeira should not have gone because it would be placing a stumbling block. It would be putting Rabba into a position where he could once again commit such a sin. And this is the sin, one of the three sins, for which you must die rather than commit. Also, the Gemara says that they were both drunk. Nishtakru, they were both drunk. Why is it necessary that Reb Zeira was also drunk from the events of the story? It could be that only Rabba was drunk. So what is the significance in the Gemara telling us that they were both drunk? Now, to dismiss the story as a spiritual one that we can't understand because Rabba and Reb Zeira are on a higher level than us, and the story must remain a mystery, the Rebbe says that since it's written in the Gemara, it must be relevant to us in some way, and we should be able to learn something from it. In Kabbalah, there are mystical explanations, and in some commentaries, the explanation is given that Rabba didn't actually kill Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira never actually died. It was almost death, or it looked like death, or it was a state of fainting, but it wasn't actual death. And the Rebbe says that since the story is brought in the Gemara and it's connected to a halacha, it's given as an illustration for a halacha, it must mean that the story itself can be understood in its literal meaning, and that is that Reb Zeira was actually killed. And even on that level, there is an explanation or an insight that we should be getting from the story. So the Rebbe's explanation is as follows. There's a story of the death of Nadav and Avihu, which we read in the Parsha of Shmini. And we are told that they died because they did something wrong. But this also needs explanation, because the Gemara tells us the greatness of Nadav and Avihu. And we see this also in the Torah itself, where Moshe says to Aaron, this is what is meant by Bekrevei Ekodesh. God says, I am sanctified through those who are close to me. And Rashi explains, now, Moshe was saying, now we see that they were greater than us. Moshe was saying to Aaron, they, the sons of Aaron, were greater than us. So how is it possible that they did something sinful or wrong for which they died? So there's an explanation given by the Eira Chaim HaKadosh, which the Rebbe describes as a wonderful, marvelous, and profound explanation, where he says that they died because of their longing to get closer to God. And therefore, they didn't hesitate to approach God with a cleaving and a sweetness and a pleasantness and an affection and an endearment of a sweet kiss until their soul left their body. And that's why it says, Bekarvosam lefnei Hashem vayomusu. They died by getting too close to God. From the closeness, they died. And where it says that they brought Eish Zorah, they brought a foreign fire into the Mishkan, it doesn't mean that they brought an unholy fire, that it was foreign to holiness. They brought a fire that was foreign to the holiness of the Mishkan, because the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring godliness down to earth. And by expiring from the sweetness of the closeness of God, they left earth. So it was the opposite kind of holiness, inappropriate for the Mishkan. And that's why after that they were told that the Kohen is not allowed to enter the Mishkan drunk with wine. And as is explained in many places, that means that you're not allowed to study the secrets of Torah, you're not allowed to study the Kabbalah, which is the wine of Torah, so you're not allowed to go into the holiness of Torah in a condition in which you are drunk on the wine, to the point of kleis hanefesh, to the point of expiring and the soul leaving the body. The reason that Nadav and Avihu, because of their closeness to God, expired and literally died, and Aaron and Moshe, who did not die from this closeness, is that Aaron and Moshe had the capacity to tolerate this degree of holiness. And so they were able to absorb the holiness without dying from it. Whereas Nadav and Avihu, they were the Bnei Aaron, they were on a lower level than Aaron and Moshe, they didn't have the capacity, they couldn't handle this degree of holiness, and therefore it brought them to a state of expiring. But after this event, then the Torah warns that Yayin v'shechar al teisht, that you should not drink wine to drunkenness, which means that you should not study the secrets of Torah to a point of expiring, but rather, as it says concerning Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas b'sholem v'yetze b'sholem. He entered the garden, the secrets of Torah. He entered it whole, and therefore was able to come back out whole, b'sholem. And as is known, the explanation that in order to come out whole, you have to go in to the secrets. You have to enter the secrets in a state of wholeness, which means that you have to be able to encompass and to absorb the holiness without your soul leaving your body. But before this commandment was given, before it was forbidden, there was this state of drunk on Torah, drunk on holiness, that brought people to the stage of klois hanefesh, of literally the body leaving, the soul leaving the body. And that's why Moshe said of them that they were close to God, heim gdolim imeni mimcha, that they were greater than you and I, Moshe and Aaron, because of their longing and their yearning for godliness. Now we can approach the story of Rabbi and Abzeda and understand it much, much more deeply. The name Rabba implies greatness. The name Reb Zeida, the word Zeida in Aramaic means small. Rabba and Abzeda were sharing the Purim Suda, celebrating Purim together. And since on Purim we're all supposed to get together, there is no distinction made between the great and the small, as it says, "Minar va'ad zokin, mishleach mones ish l're'eyu matones levyenim," that there are no distinctions made on Purim between the rich and the poor, between the adult and the child, and so on. Rabba therefore wanted to join with Reb Zeida and celebrate together. And in the process, Rabba was going to bring Reb Zeida up to his level. And that is the significance or the meaning of they got drunk, which means that they got drunk on the wine of Torah, on the secrets of Torah. Which means that at that meal, Rabba revealed to Reb Zeida the secrets of Torah that were much higher than the level that Reb Zeida had been on. Until they reach the level of Ad Lo Yoda, until they completely disconnected from their bodies. And this happened for both of them, both Rabba and Reb Zeida reached the state of Ad Lo Yoda. But the result was different for the two of them. Reb Zeida, whose name implies smallness, didn't have the vessels, the capacity, to be able to contain this great a revelation of godliness, to the point where his soul simply refused to stay in the body, and so he literally died. Whereas Rabba himself, although he too was experiencing a godliness that was greater above that which was usual for him, but he had the capacity to contain even this higher revelation. And therefore it did not bring him to a state of expiration where his soul left his body. And this is the meaning of Kom Rabba Shachte L'Reb Zeida, that Rabba shechted Reb Zeida. Because we're told in the Gemara that the word shechita means elevation. Through shechting an animal, for example, you elevate it from the level of animal into the world of the human, that the human being can eat it. So in the story of Rabba and Reb Zeida, Rabba shechted L'Reb Zeida means that Rabba elevated Reb Zeida. He drew him up to a higher level, a level that Reb Zeida could not contain, could not tolerate in the restrictions of his body. And so the soul, wanting to retain or maintain that holiness, had to leave the body in order to be free to merge with this greater holiness. Just as it was with Nadav and Avihu. Now this also explains the use of the word kom rabba. Rabba got up and shechted him. What does it mean that he got up? It means that he rose to a higher level. He elevated himself on Purim to a higher level, to the level of Ad lo yada, as we'll explain later, and took Reb Zeira with him to this higher level. So how did Rabba shachtel Reb Zeira? How did Rabba shecht Reb Zeira? By getting up, by rising. By rising to the higher level, a level which Reb Zeira could not tolerate, this elevation caused Reb Zeira to die. Reb Zeira himself could never reach this level. And that's why Kom Rabba and Shachtel Reb Zeira. It's not that Reb Zeira himself, like Nadav and Avihu, entered into a level of holiness that they couldn't handle. Reb Zeira didn't do this to himself. He couldn't do this to himself, because he existed in a time after the commandment was given that the wine of Torah should not be indulged unless you can survive it. And so Reb Zeira would not have indulged in this level of holiness, since he knew that he couldn't survive it. But Rabba elevated him to the level on which Rabba could tolerate, which was tolerable for Rabba, but it turned out to be intolerable for Reb Zeira. And so Reb Zeira passed away. How is it that Rabba would do this to Reb Zeira, knowing that there's a commandment that this should not be done, that God wants people to remain in their bodies and live on earth? So we might say that Rabba did not expect Reb Zeira to reach such a level of expiring. And so it came as a surprise to Rabba that Reb Zeira couldn't tolerate or couldn't handle this degree of holiness. Concerning Rabba, it was not a question of violating the principle of the Sheves Yitzhara, that God wants souls to stay in bodies, because he knew that the next day he would bring him back to life. So even after Reb Zeira died, it wasn't to Rabba a sin or a contradiction, going against the divine plan of souls staying in bodies, because the next day he brought him back to life. And so the experience of Kleis HaNefesh, the experience of this degree of godliness, was actually a very positive experience, which explains why the next year Reb Zeira was willing to do it again. Rabba invited him again, and Reb Zeira was willing to do it again. He wanted to experience that level of Mesiras Nefesh, that level of expiring in the pleasantness and the sweetness of God. But he was afraid that the next year the miracle wouldn't happen to bring him back to life. Because once the soul leaves the body, it is very difficult to convince the soul to come back. And that's why the Gemara says that the next day Rabba prayed or pleaded and brought him back to life. And the meaning here is that he pleaded with his neshama to come back, because it's not easy to get a neshama to willingly come back into the body. And so Reb Zeira said, I'm not sure that this year, if this happens again, I'm not sure that we'll be able to prevail on the neshama to want to come back a second time. And that would be a miracle that can't be relied on. The miracle won't necessarily happen every time. And so according to all of this, we can understand the story in its literal sense, that there was an actual loss of life, that Reb Zeder actually died, his soul left his body, and yet, and that's why the story is brought in reference to a halacha, to such a degree, in fact, that according to one opinion, the opinion of Reb Ephraim, this mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim was discontinued because of this event, the tragedy of Rabba and Reb Zeder. Of course, the halacha is not that way, and we do have the mitzvah, because today there's the possibility of reaching such a degree of godliness, such a degree of ecstasy, is very unlikely, and so the mitzvah remains in its place. We can connect this whole thing to a story of the Alter Rebbe and the Malach, the son of the Magid. When the Alter Rebbe first arrived at the Magid's yeshiva to study Chassidus, it was arranged that the Magid's son, Reb Avraham, the Malach, would be his learning partner, the Alter Rebbe's learning partner. The Alter Rebbe would teach him Nigla, Gemara, and Reb Avraham, the Malach, would teach the Alter Rebbe Chassidus. This was the Alter Rebbe's first, the earliest study of Chassidus. One time, after they had learned a particularly profound subject in Chassidus, Reb Avraham the Malach found the Alter Rebbe sitting and eating a bagel with butter. Reb Avraham the Malach was very surprised and inquired as to the meaning of this eating after the study. And the Alter Rebbe told him that during the study of this profound and deep Hasidic idea, the Alter Rebbe felt that his soul was about to leave his body, and therefore it was necessary for him to eat the bagel with the butter in order to keep his soul connected to his body and to not expire from the sweetness and the holiness of what they had studied, because God wants the soul to stay in the body. So we need to understand that Avraham the Malach studied the same subject with the Alter Rebbe. So why was there this difference between them? That the Alter Rebbe had come to the verge of expiring from the ecstasy and needed to eat a bagel with butter in order to keep his soul in his body. And Avraham the Malach, who not only studied it with, along with the Alter Rebbe, but actually taught it to the Alter Rebbe, he did not reach the stage of expiration, of ecstasy. So the explanation is that Reb Avraham the Malach was, as his name implies, an angel. He was angelic. His whole existence was barely physical to begin with. And so he was called the Malach. So that stage of barely being connected to his body, this was something that in Reb Avraham the Malach, this was a constant state. This is his permanent state. And therefore, he could maintain it. But by the Alter Rebbe, we don't find that he was described as a malach, other than on rare occasions. We find sometimes the expression malach Hashem. But that was not the title connected to the Alter Rebbe's name, as it was with Reb Avraham, who was called always, popularly, he was referred to as Avraham the Malach. In fact, the Alter Rebbe's character was the exact opposite. With the Alter Rebbe, everything had to be brought down into the world of action. Hamaisa hu ha'ika. As is known, that the Alter Rebbe devoted himself in reaching out to others, making Bali Tshuva, and so on. And so the Alter Rebbe, when he experienced this high degree of the sweetness of Chassidus, his experience was that without the bagel and the butter to make it even more physical, more of a physical pleasure, in order to keep the soul in the body, the body had to experience a physical pleasure to counteract the great pleasure that the soul was feeling in the godliness of what he had learned. Now the Rebbe says we need to explain one other thing, and that is that this level of klesa nefesh, this level of ecstasy, doesn't seem to be relevant to our times. So what can we learn from it? So the Rebbe says, I heard the story told by Chassidim from Majitz of Chassidim, that the Majitz Rebbe, when he was in Berlin, he was consulting with the doctors there concerning his health, and they determined that he needed to undergo an operation. But because he had a weak heart, they weren't sure that he would be able to tolerate the operation. When he was told this, the Majitz Rebbe said that they should allow him to sing a nigun. And once he has entered into the pnimius of that nigun, he will be unaware of anything going on around him. As is known that he had a great talent in music. And from this dveikus, in the sweetness and the pleasure of the nigun, they could perform the operation without anesthetic, and he won't feel anything. And so it was. They waited until he had gotten into the thick of the nigun, and then they performed the operation, and it was successful. So we see that in our generation, or at least the generation just prior to ours, it is possible for a Jew to get such pleasure, and get so into the pleasure that he doesn't feel his physical existence at all. We find the same thing also in a story, a wondrous story about the Rebbe Rashab. One time the Rebbe Rashab was traveling together with the Friedrich Rebbe, and they came to Vienna. And as was their custom, they stayed in the hotel, each one of them in a separate room, but the rooms were connected. In other words, there was a room that they shared in common between their two rooms. So when the Friedrich Rebbe came into this room, he saw his father, the Rebbe Rashab, sitting on the sofa with his eyes open, but totally unaware of what was going on in the room. After an hour, the Rebbe came back again, and he saw that his father is still sitting in exactly that position. He hadn't moved at all. And this happened again and again, in other words, hour after hour, that the Friedrich Rebbe came into the room and saw his father sitting motionless, for hours lost in thought, as if he was in some other world. After the Rebbe Rashab woke up, he didn't know which day it was or where they were. And this was obvious from the questions that the Rebbe Rashab asked the Friedrich Rebbe, which were meant to, the questions were meant to extract from the Friedrich Rebbe the information as to where they were and what day it was, without being obvious. So the Friedrich Rebbe acted as if he didn't realize the purpose of the question and answered the questions simply so that the Rebbe Rashab would know where they are and what day it was. And it is said that after a while the Rebbe Rashab told the Friedrich Rebbe that the subject matter of the Maimonim of the year of the famous Maimonim of the Ayin Beis were formulated in the Rebbe Rashab's mind during those hours that he was sitting there in that hotel. And so this is an event similar to the state of Klesa HaNefesh. The fact that when the Rebbe Rashab came out of the Dveikus, he didn't know the time or place, and time and place are the main ingredients of the physical universe, Zman and Mokim. his dvekus and his being absorbed into the holiness and the sweetness of godliness was so great that it separated him. It tore him away from time and space, which is the physical universe. And that is similar to leaving earth, leaving the physical state. That is klesa nefesh. And that is the soul leaving the limitations of the body, even though it didn't physically leave the body itself, but it left the properties of the body, because the body is always restricted and controlled by time and space. And so we see from this that in our generation, it is possible to have some of this experience of klesa nefesh that Rabba and Abzeda had, Nadav and Avihu had, and Rabbi Avram, the Malach, and the Alter Rebbe had, and then closer to our generation, the story of the Rebbe Rashab.